We were saying, here's the church and here's the steeple. Open the door and where's the people? So in other words, we got to be careful what you say, you know. If you do it this way, the people are there. I'm just saying that. You know, this past week, for those that may not know, this past last Sunday evening, our friend and sister Yvonne Phillips went home to be with the Lord on Sunday evening, and Bob's dad went home to be with the Lord last week also, and so the Lord just ministering to my heart. We celebrate, but at the same time, we hurt, you know, and God just wants us to be real, you know. I believe that there's a time to rejoice, and there's a time for mourn. There's a time for mourning. There's a time for all things. And when I was thinking about this, this father, he was riding down the road in his automobile with his young son, and in the car there was a bee that was flying around in the automobile, and the problem was is his son was severely allergic to bees. So it was alarming the boy, and it was alarming the father also. And the father in love pulled over to the side of the road and took his hand and reached out and grabbed the bee. All of a sudden, when he grabbed the bee, the son was comforted because daddy had gotten the bee. But a few minutes later, daddy opened his hand and the bee flew out. And the little boy got excited, and daddy says, "Wait a minute, son, don't worry, I pulled out his stinger." And what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:55, he said, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, the bee, death wasn't destroyed, but the sting. God took some of the hurt away. And the way he took it away for you and I, Jesus said and when he was speaking to Martha in John 11, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Believeth thou this? So we believe that Robert and we believe that Yvonne passed from life to life. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we celebrate her homecoming, but at the same time, there's things that change in our lives. It'll never be the same. I believe the Word of God says in Psalms 116:15, it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." He is not saying that he wants his saints to die, but at death, they're with him for eternity. Amen? So when we look at this, what the Lord was speaking to my heart about, and he took me to, led me to this area today, and it was kind of strange. He took me to Exodus chapter 14. So if you turn there with me this morning, you know, and I'm just going to talk to you today. It's okay. It's a little crowd. I'm just going to. I ain't going to preach a whole lot. I'm just going to talk to you today, okay? And, you know, that God had just delivered the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt with a mighty hand. And as the children of Israel were leaving Egypt and following Moses and they were heading out, they weren't taking, they weren't expecting a battle, and they weren't expecting to fight. So they were carrying the goods, okay? I mean, all of the Egyptians laid all their goods upon them, and they're carrying all these goods, and they're going out all of a sudden they come to the Red Sea. They come to a place where they didn't know what to do. They came to a place where it seemed like there was a dead end. And all of a sudden, as they begin to look back, we find that the Egyptian Pharaoh and the Egyptian army is all of a sudden pursuing the children of Israel. Remember, the children of Israel aren't prepared to fight. They're not ready for battle. They're leaving, and all of a sudden they're in this place where they don't have all of the answers. And I believe in life that each and every one of us come to a place in life where we ask the question, what now? What now? What now? I'm sure the children of Israel are asking this question. They're thinking that where they were was better, or they were reflecting on the time past and it was some good times. But the question that comes to their minds is, what now, Lord? What now? And I believe I want to speak to you today out of verse number 13 of Exodus 14, where the Lord says to the people, he says, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which you shall see today." Amen. In other words, he said, "Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And today I want to speak to you this morning about facing the sea of life. We're going to look at the strength, the stillness, and the salvation. Can we lift our word together and make a declaration in the house? Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Speak to me, Lord, for I am listening. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, that you sent your word here today to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do. So I pray that each and every one of us will be blessed by the preaching and teaching of your word. And I pray, Father God, that you speak through me today. Speak with clarity. Speak with understanding, Father God. May we be edified. May we be encouraged and comforted by the preaching and teaching of your word. And when all is said and done, you'll receive the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the first thing that the Lord spoke to the voice of his servant Moses is, fear ye not, fear ye not. And when I was looking at that this past Sunday night, I want to share something, and I hope that it's okay with Jody. Last Sunday night, in the closing moments of Yvonne's life on this side of glory, the family got together and had a Bible study and sang praises to the Lord, and they released her into the kingdom. It was really beautiful and painful, but beautiful. Painful of a part of life that's being released, and beautiful because of the trust in the Lord. And their family, as they gathered together for Bible studies and met in their living room, they would memorize scriptures and they would sing special songs. And he made reference to Psalms 23 one Sunday night. And the Lord was ministering my heart in this area when he said, in verse 4, he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And I want to speak a little bit about his strength. I believe that every last one of us in times in our lives are faced with the shadow of death. I believe that when a loved one passes away, they cast a shadow. There's a shadow that's cast because life will never be the same. And in the midst of this, God is saying, fear not, for I am with thee. My rod and my staff shall comfort thee. In other words, when Moses could not speak, and he asked God if he would send Aaron with him, the rod was a representation of the presence of God. It was his very presence that was there. And God was saying, even when we're faced with the shadow of death, when the death of a loved one or a friend, a neighbor, a sister, a brother, an aunt, an uncle, a father, a mother, a daughter, a son, when this takes place in our lives, there's a shadow that's cast, and God wants you to know his rod and his staff will bring you comfort. You know, the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 43, when I was looking at that, and in Isaiah 43, we find that when the prophetic word is spoken, it spoke of past, present, and future. Past, this had already taken place. They'd already walked through the waters. They'd already been across the Jordan. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had already, we're looking at past. But the prophetic word speaks past, present, into the future. And in verse 43, chapter 43, verse 2 of Isaiah says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they will not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. In other words, what God was saying to the children of Israel, they were in the place where, what now? God was letting them know through his word, as he did with Moses, told them to fear not, that they would pass through the water. And we know that they passed through the Red Sea. You know, I heard somebody say one time, well, Pastor, the Lord really didn't, they said to this man, he said, Pastor, they really didn't, God didn't really do anything there. He said there was only 2 inches of water in the Red Sea at that time. And the pastor thought a moment, and all of a sudden he started jumping up and down, screaming and shouting hallelujah. He said, what are you shouting and screaming and hollering hallelujah for? He says, God took 2 inches of water and destroyed the Egyptian army. Hallelujah. So no matter what way you look at it, God is still there. He is always there. You know, when they passed through the river, it did not overflow them. And when they went through the river of Jordan, they passed through. He said, when you walk through the fire, I'll be there. The flame won't even kindle upon you. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were thrown in the fiery furnace. And what did he say in Daniel 3:25? Who is the fourth one? It looks like the Son of God. Even in the midst there, what he is saying is, I will never leave you. I will be there to help you. I will be there to strengthen you. Jesus even said in Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am to be found in the midst of them. And what Jesus was saying, he's not in the midst of us today to condemn us. He's in the midst of us to comfort us, to strengthen us, amen, to encourage us. You see, that's when the presence of God comes. The presence of God is here to lift you up, to lift you up, to lift me up. You know, we all go through times when we need to be strengthened, where we need to be encouraged, you know. And our encouragement comes from him no matter what we go through. God understands us and he knows everything about us. You know, that's why the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12:9 that his strength was, God's grace is sufficient for his, my strength is made perfect. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. Amen. In other words, I couldn't depend on myself for this. I couldn't do it. I can't do it. I never could. I never will be able to. But what God is saying to us is his strength. Not ours, but his strength. Not our peace, but his peace. You know, we sang some songs today, and it's important that we allow them songs to, to minister to our life. You know, he gives us instructions in Ephesians 6 to put on the whole armor of God so that we'll be able to withstand. You know, and he says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. In other words, when you come to the place in life, what now? How do I go on? What do I do next? How do I take this next step? It's important that we don't fear. You know, God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, because fear has torment. You know, and that's what the adversary wanted to bring on the children of Israel. But God was there. Amen. God was there to strengthen them, to show them the way, to lead them out of the place where they are, to lead them to the promise, you know? And so things in life, you know, they change. They change. And now there's the adjusting period. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to follow the instructions of as God gave the children of Israel when they're in that place of unknown, where they're in that place of what now? He said, fear ye not. Then he said, stand still. Sometimes we tend to make decisions before we just need to stand still. Sometimes we react, and sometimes we just need to stand still and meditate and refocus and listen to what the Lord has to say to each and every one of us. Hallelujah. You know, when I'm thinking about being still, I'm thinking about what God has done. I'm meditating. I'm thinking back. You know, the Word of God says in Job 37:14, he said, hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Amen. In other words, when David was faced with his unknown, when David was faced with his Goliath, David, what he did is he reflected, he meditated on how God had showed up before. That God had been there when he fought a lion, and God had been there when he fought a bear, and he reflected on that. You know, I think so many times as children of God, we need to reflect on what God has done. And that he's been gracious, that he's been merciful, you know, that God has plans for everyone. He has plans for good and not for evil. He gives each and every one of us a hope and an expected end. You know, he encouraged the children of Israel in Deuteronomy to speak to their fathers, to speak to their elders, to hear from them some of the testimonies, how God had brought them through. So in that place that we come into a place of considering what God has done. There comes a time when we just got to be still. You know, the Word of God says in Psalms 46:10, he says, be still and know that I am God. You know, so in the midst of this, well, Pastor, why are you talking? Because it's going to face, yeah, every last one of us are going to face this in life. Each and every one of us are going to face times of sorrow and testing, and God wants you to be encouraged by him. He wants you to know that he loves you, that he has a plan in your life, and he loves your family member. He loves them. You know, one of the things the Lord was, I felt in my heart, and I'm going to share this testimony because it's for someone's benefit. When I was a young man, I was 23 years old. I was running from the Lord at the time, and my mother had a heart attack. And I was living in the Shenandoah Valley, and she was living in Maryland, so we took a trip to Maryland. I went to Maryland. And my mom was in critical care. And I was outside in the hallway, and I was promising God everything. Whatever I could think of, I was promising God. And my mom, it seemed like she had a turnaround in her life. All the kids got to come, and it seemed like she was getting better or whatever. And I took off and went right back and did everything I promised them I wouldn't do. Just being honest, being transparent. And I know cell phones weren't out yet, okay? And I had left Maryland. When I got home, and my phone was ringing. And when I came back to my home and answered the phone, it was the family calling me to tell me to come back, that mom had taken a turn for the worse. And when I returned and I went back to the hospital, I had so much guilt that was upon me, I couldn't even go in to see my mom. And what took place is my mom went on to be with the Lord, and I got angry. I got mad. I got angry and I got mad at everything about God. I blamed God for everything, and I felt that, you know, and I walked through life, and the adversary was tormenting me. The adversary was trying to make me believe it was because of me that Mama died. And I walked around with that guilt, and that stuff was just eating up my heart and eating up my life until the Holy Spirit and God came into the room and told me. He said, "Son, you didn't kill your mama. Sin killed your mama. But love saved her soul." Amen. It was sin that killed. It's not you and it's not me. So the reason I'm saying this is don't let the adversary come and say, put guilt on your head if you have a loved one or someone that's gone on to be with the Lord. I know how much I was tormented. I was tormented. You don't believe the adversary had tormented? He tormented me. Amen. He tormented me. But when God came into the room, amen, he freed me. You know, in other words, he came to me and said, "Well, who makes you think that you're responsible? Who are you?" She was my daughter. She's home with me. Man, when I got that picture, everything in life changed. Everything in life changed. And so what God was saying to the children of Israel, they were faced with the unknown. God said, "Fear not the strength. Be still, the stillness, and know that I'm God." Amen. And then came the salvation. Amen. We see that the road opened up, the way opened, and they were able to pass over into going through the wilderness that was heading towards the promised land. Oh, they still had battles. They fought battles, but they weren't losing the war. You know, at times in life, we'll lose the battle, but we won't lose the war. Amen? Amen? You know, when I was reflecting on that, the Lord took me to Zephaniah. Chapter 3, verse 17. The Word of God says, "The Lord my God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." He will joy over thee with singing. That's the time, Judy.
With my loving kindness, I have loved you. With an everlasting love, and I have drawn you. With my loving kindness.
Hallelujah. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Amen. That's the hope we have. Well, our hope is in John 14:6, for Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by the Son. You see, we still have that bee, but the stinger's been pulled. The stinger's been pulled. My Bible says the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall be raised, and those that are alive be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, ever to be with the Lord. Amen. I know one day I'm going to be reunited with my mama. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be reunited with my daddy. Amen. I'm going to be reunited with my nephews that have preceded me. You know, and I want you to understand something. Many of you have been promised to your mamas. He promises the second, third, and to the fourth generation. Hallelujah. Praise God. The curse of sin has been broken. We have perfect liberty. God has come to set captives free. Amen. He's come to open some prison doors, to open the blind eyes and let them see. And he wants you and I to realize when we're faced with those times in life when we come with the what now. Life's going to change. Everything changes when a loved one leaves and goes with the Lord. But he says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And he says, when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, for I am with thee. My rod and my staff, they will comfort you. He will give us his strength and his stillness and his salvation. You know, and I think about the Lord and I know when mom went home to be with the Lord, it was like there was like a Y in the road. Some family went all the way in, and some of the family went all the way out. But God has a way of gathering them all back in. Amen. You know, and, you know, I know that my younger brother Benny, he surrendered his life to the Lord during that time. And I know my sister Levine went back to serving the Lord with all of her heart at that time. And so there was family members that came and there's family members that went. But praise God, he was going to be glorified. Amen. So I believe all that the Lord wants to say to you and I simply today is when we go through times of what now, just to recognize that your strength will come from him. Be still. In other words, don't move too quick. You know, we have a tendency to make some rash decisions in that time. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He says, they that wait upon the Lord, he will renew your strength. Amen. You'll be strengthened by him. Be still, know that he's God. And notice and know that he's got you with the right hand of his righteousness. Hallelujah. I think of the mighty right hand of God. Amen. So God wants you to be encouraged today. God just wants us to be encouraged. Amen. God says this. He tells us in his word, God doesn't try to take you out of your mourning until your mourning is complete. Matter of fact, when people passed away in the Old Testament, they had mourners that would come in and mourn for them. So he tells us not to forsake the time of mourning. He understands. He understands that there was something dear to you in your life that was taken from you. Don't you think he can relate with that? That's what they did to his son. He can relate with the pain. You know, so sometimes we have a tendency to sweep it under the rug and it'll come back and haunt us later. Amen. Don't forsake the time of mourning. He said, sorrow may last through the night, but joy will come in the morning. Amen. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for your word, and we're grateful for sending your word here today. And Lord, we thank you for the lives of Yvonne and Robert Sr., Father God, Robert Miller. And Father God, we know they're with you, but Lord, I pray for each family member and loved one and friend, Father God. I pray that you reach out and comfort them, Father God, that you strengthen them in your power and might. And Father, I pray for this entire body, that we be edified, that we be built up, that we be encouraged by you, Lord Jesus. Father, that you are the glory and you are the lifter of our heads. So Father God, today as we leave this house today, Father God, may we leave here today knowing that you love us, that you have plans for our lives, Father God, and that you have not changed your mind. So I pray, Father God, I pray for this body, Father God. I pray for the families. I pray Isaiah 33 today. Isaiah 33:2 says, O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning, and our salvation also in the time of trouble. Bless the people as they go. May your face shine upon them. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing, and we'll never cease to give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Quick service.